This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, let's do it. The phone lines are open. 206-421-3776. That's the number. And we'll take your calls on anything. It's me, Mike Salk. Danny O'Neill is in for Brock today. So one more hour of the two of us. Of course, you can hear Danny later today like you can most days at 3 o'clock with Danny, Dave, and Moore. Always fun, and their style is very different from ours. Best interviews in the business and a lot of fun every day from 3 to 7 with Danny, Dave, and Moore. All right, so the phone lines are open. Just see if I can set this up again. This is essentially a chance for you guys to say something that's been on your mind. And it could be about anything we've been talking about this week. It could be about Scott Servais and Jerry DePoto. It could be where the Mariners are going or where they've been. Hanley Ramirez is looks like probably going to be on waivers here within the next week if you want to be in favor or against the idea of trying to sign Hanley Ramirez to help out the bats here in this with this team. Feel free. There's a good chance to call. The Seahawks had OTAs, organized team activities, and a full practice yesterday. A couple guys didn't show up. Earl Thomas wasn't there. Frank Clark wasn't there. If you have questions, thoughts, concerns, arguments you want to make about the OTAs, this is a good chance to do that. So there's a lot. Anything is on the table for you guys right now, Danny. Anything. You ready for this?
I am slightly worried. Is this like inviting the – you have a – ranking order of who gets to determine what we talk about?
No.
Is there a pecking order?
No.
This is a Democratic nominations.
It's mostly...
As long as you're not talking Sounders, anything goes.
Kyle, that is mean. That's what Kyle and Howdy have said throughout this whole thing, is every time I've tried to take a Sounders call, they've cut me off and like made...
Like, Howdy and I pass on the opportunity to hang up on the person on the phone. We put them on hold, and then we let Mike do it.
No, they tell me to do it. It's mean.
Have you guys seen the marketing push for the World Cup this... I saw the advertisement for the first time.
Yeah.
Have you seen what it is?
It's not Watch Team USA.
That's correct.
What
so if you're going to try to appeal to a bunch of people in the USA whose country is not in the World Cup, what would you do?
Ronaldinho? That guy's marrying two women at the same time.
Yeah, how
I
about
just saw that,
that
yesterday. I don't really know the difference between Ronaldo and Ronaldinho, except that I thought one was the other's son. I assumed Ronaldo was the star and then Ronaldinho was his son. Like
that
little,
makes sense.
Like little Ronaldo, right?
It's totally fair.
That was always what I thought. Turns out that's not the case at all. But he's getting married to two women at the same time, except bigamy is not allowed in... What country is he from? Argentina?
Brazil.
He's from Brazil. It's not allowed, but civil unions between three people are allowed. So he's going to enter into a civil union with the two women he lives with. Is that part of the marketing?
No, it's not.
That's too bad.
No, it's not. Here's what it is. It's the company 23andMe, which is the sort of
like,
spit-in-a-cup genetics.
Okay.
Find out your heritage and root for that country.
Come on, is
wow.
that true?
No, like literally, no. I saw it yesterday. It's the
great.
Fox advertisement.
That's great.
Like partnered with 23andMe. It's like root for where you're from.
That's an SNL parody.
That is
like,
wow. Are you sure it wasn't
There's
an SNL parody?
18% of me that's for Spain, but 32% of me is rooting for
Ireland. 206-421-3776. James is in Seattle. James, the phone lines are open. What do you want to say?
I want to say the Mariners should be using the squeeze play.
The squeeze
play? Next time you... The squeeze play, yeah.
This is a very specific argument you're making here.
Well, I think what the Mariners need is to open up the pitching of opponents to some of the other players. I mean, Cano's out. Cruz is not doing his best right now. He's still recovering from injury. We have to open up the pitching for those guys. And the number of times I've seen D. Gordon on third, we should be bunting, bringing him home, and putting a little fear of God into everyone else, including the Astros and the Angels.
Problem, I love the thought process here. I think the problem that I've seen, because I've noticed that a couple times with D. Gordon on third and wondered, oh, is this a squeeze opportunity? But often the guys coming up when D. Gordon is on third are not guys you want to see bunting. It's been Cruz and Cano and you know Haniger
right.
And I mean you're not looking at the net. It's not Austin Romine who's out there. It's generally been the power hitters who probably aren't great bunters.
We did have Heredia going on contact.
True.
Was that was in the game they won 1-0,
yep,
right? It was Kyle Seager's grounder that ended up being an error at shortstop. How about a flat out steal a home?
I wondered whether D. Gordon would do that.
D. Gordon, I think, will steal him.
Especially with Kyle Seager up. If they want to play the big shift and take the third baseman too far away from the bag, is there a chance for D. Gordon to steal home? I know he'd love to. I mean, have you ever seen it done? It's awesome.
I've never seen it done live. I can't remember. I know that I've seen it, but I can't remember seeing it. It doesn't stick out in my memory. I know Jackie Robinson did, and that was a big part of one of the children's books that I read about the little baseball he had that was like his special friend that helped inspire him.
I saw Jacoby Ellsbury steal home. That was kind of awesome. They kind of didn't pay attention to him at third, and he stole home. It was really cool. Who else? I think Billy
Benny
Hatcher.
Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
Obviously, Benny the Jet. Obvi. I think Billy Hatcher once stole home.
Billy Hatcher?
Yeah.
Was he that fast?
No,
I know he was the leadoff hitter.
He was fast enough.
Yeah?
I think he stole home. I don't know. There have been guys who've done it. It's a super exciting play when it works. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Brian, who is in Seattle. Brian, what's been on your mind?
Yeah, this is going to sound funny, but I want to see where you guys stand on this. But me and my roommate were talking about wide receivers wearing single-digit and team jersey numbers.
Okay.
I fall on wide receivers to just stick to the 80s. I just think it looks better, and to me it looks silly, like guys like Julio wear 11 and Odell wear 13 and et cetera, because that's more of a quarterback number. Where do you guys fall on that?
You know, when it first happened, I'll admit I was like you. I thought it was weak, and I thought that they were doing a disservice to the tradition of the game. I'm not big on change, but I will admit that over time, when the right wide receiver wears a number in the teens, I'm kind of into it now. It's taken me some time, but I'm there. I like it now.
Why don't we allow guys to wear different numbers? Like,
do they have to be in those?
Why is the NFL more rigid about that than colleges? I like some college receivers when they wear a single digit. We get a 1 or 5.
I could deal with single digits, but I don't want to see some wide receiver wearing 25. Can you imagine? Ugh, it'd be hideous.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of that.
I wouldn't like that.
I didn't even like when Devin Hester lined up and did that. It didn't look right.
A linebacker in the 40s, though? That would
I can deal with the 40s, and they can do that. They can do a linebacker in the 40s.
I don't think so.
Well, isn't Shaquem Griffin wearing 49?
49?
Yeah.
He is. I don't know if he's going to be able to wear that once the season starts.
I think he would. I thought you could, as a linebacker, still wear something in the 40s.
I don't think you can wear a 40 if you're a linebacker. Oh. I know that Brian Bosworth sued the NFL over being able to wear 44.
Right.
Blue 44 was the name of his company.
Right.
So I don't think you can wear a linebacker number in the 40s. I think they're a little too rigid. They need to loosen up.
I kind of like it, though. I like that you generally know what position somebody is based on the number that they're wearing. The game is so complex and so confusing with 22 people in motion at the same time that I like roughly knowing who's who based on the types of numbers that they're wearing. I like that. I think that's good.
It's
part of what makes the NFL the NFL.
Linebacker says yes, 40 to 49.
There you go.
Really?
Like Miles Jack, I think he wears 44.
Yeah.
No kidding.
You can
but
do
also
it.
He plays some running back.
If you make a Pro Bowl, should you be able to add an exponent to your number? Just
no.
A little piece of
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
Like put a little 2, like however many Pro Bowls you've made, you get that up in the top corner.
Yeah.
Like a little exponent.
Like I'm 11 to the 4th power.
Earl would be like 29 to the 6th or something like that. That would be impressive. 206-421-3776. You guys get to set the rules. You get to dictate conversation. Tell me something that you've been trying to argue about here with your friends at a bar and in your personal life along the water cooler, whatever it is. Give me an argument you've been trying to make sports-wise over the last week. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Terrell, who's in Mount Lake Terrace. Good morning.
Hey, morning, everyone.
What's up, dude?
Hey, I was calling about Mariners. You know, everybody just says, like, Cano is just totally off limits. And I'm thinking, you know, even though he's not going to play till August and out of the playoffs this year, we need a starter and, you know, another starter pitcher. And it'd be a perfect time, I think, if someone would take him because I don't like those long contracts with him being older.
Well, here's the problem I think you're going to run into, and I appreciate the phone call on that. Do you think the other teams like the long contracts?
Well, you know, New York or someone might take him back.
Well, they've already said that they never even wanted him to begin with because of the steroid use.
I mean, he's easy smooth. He is one of the best, but he's, you know, what is he, 35 already?
After this year, you have 5 more years at $24 million apiece. I got news for you, man. Nobody's going to take that contract.
Yeah, you look at Curtis now, too. I mean, he had a great couple of years. The last year he had a great, but this year he's just so accident prone. He's just like, he can't.
Yeah, they're different. I mean, Nelson Cruz's deal is up at the end of this year. If the Mariners were to fall out of it, I'm sure they'd try to trade him. As much as I like the thought process, I don't see anybody ponying up to take Robbie Cano's contract off your hands.
The moment you signed Robinson Cano to the deal you did, you immediately said the only people who are going to ever trade for him are going to give us a worse player.
Yep.
Or we're going to pay a significant amount of the contract. Like, that's just really how it worked. From the moment that you paid that top shelf, top of the market contract to get him here, and he's more valuable on your team.
Well, and you also can't trade him without his permission. I don't know whether he has a no trade clause in there or not, but he's a 10-5 guy now.
Right.
So you don't have the ability to trade Robinson Cano. And since I got yelled at the other day for making assumptions about what baseball fans know, 10-5 rights mean this. If you've been in the league for 10 years, 5 years on the same team, you have an automatic non-trade.
Which means that he gets his 10-5 at the end of this season. This is his fifth season.
This is his fifth year.
So he doesn't have it quite yet. He will have.
That's right. At the end of this year, he will have his 10-5 rights.
You're not going to. He's more valuable to your team, on your team, playing for your team, than he is for anything that you would get.
I would agree.
And the amount of money that you would have to pay for him.
I would agree with all. Especially now, his value is going to be as low as it will ever be.
You also got $12 million back that you can go spend on somebody else.
Even better. Let's grab Brad, who's in Orcas Island. What's up, Brad? What do you want? What's on your mind today?
Well, I was talking about Earl, but first off, you guys don't like Fred Biletnikoff?
What?
He was the original 25.
I don't know.
That's a good call.
I haven't watched enough of him.
That's a solid call.
He was one of the greatest receivers of all time.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Would have looked better if he wasn't wearing 25.
Yeah. Anyways, Earl, you know, Dallas disrespected him by the trade for not even giving him a third round. Seattle had the opportunity of stepping up to the plate and showing him how much they cared about him. Instead, they're posturing, they're playing mind games with him. He's arguably the best free safety in football. Why don't they just pay the guy what he's worth, get him back into the fold, instead of playing these games with him?
I don't think, Danny, do you think they're playing games with Earl, or do you think they just were ready to trade him?
The Seahawks?
No, yeah. I think they're playing games. I think, you know, for the principle of the thing, they're, you know, they don't want to give him what he wants right away.
Here's what's going on. This isn't about principle. It's not about anything more complicated than you've got a player who is approaching 30, who wants a top-of-the-market contract, and you've got a team that has 1 year left on his contract and is looking at it and saying, the last three times we've paid a player a top-of-market extension at this point, it has not paid off for us. And so we're going to see exactly what happens. If he's going to hold out, does that change sort of your willingness to move on from him? I don't think it does, because I think that eventually he's going to end up being here and playing, and hopefully it's at the start of training camp and it doesn't go longer than that.
I still think it hasn't been handled great. I mean, I would have much preferred that they deal him at the draft, and unfortunately some of the things I think they thought they were going to be able to get for him, they couldn't. It's still bizarre to me how small the value was for Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, and Michael Bennett over the last 2 years.
I would say this. It surprised me how small the value was for Earl.
Yeah.
And I think that goes to the overall safety.
I mean, Richard Sherman a year ago, before hurting his ankle, he still had no value.
Sherman, though, was a first and a third. That's what they wanted. That's an awful lot.
Maybe.
First and a third. That,
I'm sure they would have taken just a first, and they weren't able to get it.
I don't think so.
Really?
From what I've heard,
you don't think they would have taken a first?
What I've heard is the Seahawks wanted a first and would not have taken it unless they got a first.
I might have taken just the third. 206-421-3776. Grab Colin, who's in Buckley. What's up, Colin? Good morning.
Hey, Salk and Danny. Good to hear you.
Thanks, bud.
So I hate to start out with a correction, but it's Andrew Romine, not Austin Romine.
Yeah, I knew I would make that mistake. I get a 50-50 shot on that one, and I'm just going to assume I get it wrong every time. You should just assume that. Really, what I want to talk about is their dad, Kevin Romine, who was a big prospect when I was a kid, was on the 86 Red Sox.
Dad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a pessimistic Mariner fan, always have been, glass half empty kind of guy. I can't help it.
Okay.
So I think the time right now, you strike and you get somebody to replace Gamel. You plan for Cruz pulling a Richie Sexson and having his career basically be over in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
You move on from Romine. I think you got to do it now while you have a little bit of a cushion. You don't wait for these guys to come around, or because I don't think Gamble's coming around. I think Cruz might be done. Okay. Romine is terrible. I think we got to. And I don't know what it is, but
You got to say what it is. I mean, if you want to make big proclamations, what do you want to do?
Okay, so Hanley sounds good because he's insurance for Cruz. That sounds good to me. I'm not sure Healy's going to duplicate his great month. He's kind of a 1-2 month guy, and then he's terrible the rest of the year. I mean, I think you got to get maybe a first baseman, a DH, and an outfielder.
Wow. It's a lot. I got to say, I don't know that I agree with all that, but no, man, I appreciate the take on it.
Here's what your question is. If you're the Mariners right now, here's what your question is over the next month is, are we going to be able to honestly contend this year, given the injuries and given the suspension of Robinson Cano and given our lack of starting pitching depth?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be able to honestly contend? And if we think we are, it's worth it going for it with this group. And if you're not, then you look at a much more honest, let's strip it down.
Yeah, but he's not talking about stripping it down. That guy's talking about trying to just ditch guys that you don't like as much as a few others. And I guess I would say this. Some of those things stand out when D. Gordon is hurt, when Robinson Cano is not out there, et cetera. And, you know, Ben Gamble should be hitting ninth for this team. That's the way they had this thing set up, for him to hit at the bottom of the order. When Ben Gamble is hitting ninth, he'll take what he's been doing so far, and he brings some speed, and he brings some defense, and he'll probably hit better than the 226 he started off as. There's some value to him hitting ninth. And with Ryan Healy, I mean, God, the guy's got 8 home runs. He's got an OPS of 773. He's got better numbers than Hanley does. I think you're messing with a lot of chemistry there for not a lot of reason.
If you're going to add anything to this team, add arms.
Mm.
Add someone so I don't have to see Juan Nicasio in the eighth inning ever again.
I would agree with that.
I don't want to see him in the eighth inning. And if you're going to add even more arms, maybe look at getting a starter that's out there.
Joe is in Puyallup, 206-421-3776. Open phone lines until 9:45. Joe, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. So I think it's time that the Mariners get rid of the King's Court. I think Felix is not really any longer the king.
Right.
And I think when you get guys yelling KKK after 2 strikes, he thinks, I got to get the strikeout. And I think he needs to start pitching more towards contact and focusing on evolving as a pitcher.
All right, Joe, so I'm going to put you in a tough spot here. I'm going to ask you a hard question. What do you do for a living?
I'm an electrician.
All right, you're an electrician. Do you manage people at all? Do you have to deal with other people over the course of your day?
I do. I'm a foreman.
All right, so they put yourself in that management spot, and you've got to go to Felix and tell him you're eliminating the King's Court. How do you do that?
It's not easy. I don't know. Honestly, you got to tell him, hey, man, you know, I don't know how to answer that.
It's because Joe, question. You're not the first, and I think there's a lot of merit to what you said. I think it can be kind of embarrassing when you look out there and you see the King's Court and it's dwindling and it's not as exciting as it once was, and Felix has an ERA north of 6. But at the same time, how do you go to a proud Felix thinks that he's as good as Justin Verlander. Play that sound, Lydia, that you were talking about earlier. Felix thinks that after the first inning, he's as good as Justin Verlander. The fact is, Justin Verlander has an ERA of 1, and Felix's ERA after the first inning is over 4.
First inning, that's a problem.
But you find that as it goes on.
Yeah, I mean, after that, I mean, same stuff that I have, and they don't hit me. If I take all my runs in the first inning, I'll probably be out there with Verlander in the ERA.
All right, how do you tell that guy, who's as proud as that, that you're taking away the King's
Court?
What
Felix just said is insane.
It's insane.
Okay, so his
He's living
ERA
in another world.
After the fourth inning is 4.11. And Verlander's right now, we just looked it up, it was what, like 1.0 something.
It's about
so
one.
Take your ERA and divide it by 4.
Here's what Mike is saying, is that you need to go out to him and say, Felix, I'm sorry to tell you this, but the King has no clothes on. He's going to be like, no, I've got a big royal robe. I've got a court. Haven't you seen my court? No, no, Felix, you have no clothes. The King has no clothes on.
Does this at all go back to the decision that was made in spring training and having him start opening day and continuing to feed into his own belief that he's still that guy?
I don't think so. I think it's the... No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that...
That was the message the Mariners sent him.
I think
you're
that
still
was
the guy.
No, I think it was him... I think yeah, maybe to a point, but I think you kind of have to. I think you have to keep his confidence up, because if you just start stripping that stuff away,
Mike,
God knows
he's overconfident. Maybe. They don't need to keep his confidence up. They need to humble him.
Kyle, that's a fair argument.
This is what I would say, because I see your point.
You might be right.
Here's the reason, though. Every action you take should be based on getting a result. If you're going to take him out of the opening day starting spot, it has to be because you think that's going to help him pitch better.
Right.
Like the decision
away
you're
the
making.
King's Court would embarrass him.
Right. And look.
Is that going to help?
Will it help?
When Don Wakamatsu called him out a few times, it helped. It was straight up in the midst of Felix being the most as dominant as he ever was, called out Felix twice, and both times it was successful.
Because it was about him going sideways if an error happened,
yes,
or if something went wrong.
Or losing guys on base.
Didn't
or some
get
of that
a call,
yep,
like that sort of
it
thing.
It was about not paying attention to runners on first, and they had like 6 steals against him one day. Yeah.
If you get to the point where you think that is going to help, actually embarrassing him will be a motivation to do it, then you do that. But that's your nuclear button, because the other possibility is that when you do that, he doesn't get motivated. He gets mad and goes in the tank.
206-421-3776. Uh-oh, Jesse's in Bothell. What's up, Jesse?
Uh-oh's right.
Do you know about the big competition coming up, Jesse? Have you heard about the top five?
Well,
top five.
First of all, I was the call that initiated that idea in the first place.
Okay.
So, yes, I know all about it.
Okay.
And I expect to be in the top three.
Top
anyway,
five.
Let me get to
top
it.
Top five.
Yes, that's correct. All right, let me get to it. I have a question for you, Mike. I asked it to you last week.
Okay.
Based on the recent events for the Mariners, I said last week that I watch every game, and even if it's a win or a loss, I just say, well, but we're not going to make the playoffs.
Okay.
Based on the recent events with Cano and all the injuries and Nelson Cruz going in the tank and Gamble not picking it up, can you watch every game yet and you say, but we're not going to make the playoffs, I can't enjoy this 100%?
No, I do not say that.
You don't?
No.
Why not? Why?
Why do you think that they're not going to make the playoffs?
I got to tell you, I don't think that it's on me to explain myself in that case. You're the one making the definitive statement believe something.
Okay, so I think that the
this
caller,
guy thinks he's a top
like five
three caller.
Ago, yeah, trust me, I call in all the time. I like getting I
can go get a truck driver to try, man.
let me say this. Let me say this. The guy that called a few minutes ago who said he's a glass half empty, pessimistic Mariner fan.
Yep.
Been around since 2001, 18 years, no playoffs, completely jaded.
Yep.
Coming from that background, all I want to see is success at this point.
Right.
And anything less than that is a disappointment.
I understand.
So if we don't have a healthy squad the whole season, if our pitching staff can't put together, seven innings consistently, I'm going to be disappointed. And that's just the way that it is. And I think I speak for the majority of
Well, you speak for yourself, Jesse. I don't know that you get to speak for the majority. I think that's probably going a little far. What you are speaking is yourself, and that's fine. I don't know that I need to explain to anyone why I can watch a game without thinking it doesn't matter. I'm not telling you that I think they're going to make the playoffs or they're a lock or a shoe-in to do so. Just that I think it matters. They've got a shot at it. And until they prove themselves otherwise, I'm not going to sit here and build a wall of comfort around me. So just in case things don't work, I'm in a nice, soft, padded room and everything is going to be okay. I'll believe that they've got a shot. Doesn't mean they're going to make it. I'm not putting money in Vegas on the Mariners making the playoffs or anything close to it. But I'll believe for now that they've got a shot at it. And I root for them every game and have fun watching them. And if they prove otherwise, then I'll be disappointed.
Jesse
that's fine.
Is not a fun person to watch a game
no,
with.
No, but Jesse's a fun caller. I like him.
No,
I like him anyway.
But
Jesse's one of my favorites. Danny doesn't care for him, obviously.
No, I have anything Jesse. Against him. I just think that when someone advertises themselves, it's like, I'm easily the top three caller. And you get that.
I like that.
I'm like,
about
that's
Jesse.
Underwhelming.
206-421-3776. We got five lines full, one line open. We'll keep taking your calls on whatever you want to talk about next. I'm Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
206-421-3776.
We were with this guy in Atlanta.
I know. That was fun.
Gio from Blue Scholars.
Yes. That was fun. We had a blast on that trip.
It was
New
good.
Year's Eve.
I'm going back to Atlanta.
Danny and I had quite the New Year's Eve.
It was a really funny New Year's Eve.
That bar was one of the most bizarre places I've ever been, with like 75-year-old men and women, 25-year-old men and women, and they each seemed to be hitting on each other, but like the 75-year-olds and the 25-year-olds intermixing, and
it was the
people
most
passing out next to us. It was quite a scene. Smoking in the bar, yeah. People were. It was crazy.
The most diverse crowd I think I've ever been a part of.
I would agree with that.
And then there was a fight. Where somebody got into a fight with the bouncers and then wanted to get back in. I was like, when have you ever seen that happen? When has that ever happened that somebody's like in a physical confrontation with the bouncers and they're like, oh, you're settled down now? Oh, yeah, come on, right back in.
206-421-3776. Open lines here. Dakota's in Silverdale. What's up, dude?
Hey, guys. So being the optimistic Mariners fan that I am, I was really relieved and happy to see Marco Gonzalez go out and deal in Detroit the other day, especially after Tyler O'Neill gets called up and starts dropping a few bombs for St. Louis. Number one, I really didn't like Tyler O'Neill. There was an arrogance that I just didn't care for, and Marco couldn't be more opposite. And two, I just don't want to see another one of those trades where we end up trading a guy and he blossoms. As Adam Jones came to mind when
sure.
we moved him. And yeah.
Yeah, so it's an interesting one, and I think we're all happy that Marco's finally starting to pitch well, because there's definitely that fear factor, and O'Neill was one of their top prospects. On the arrogance thing with him, I guess I would say this. I think if you were around him a little bit, I think you'd like him more than you think. And he does have an arrogance, a confidence. There's a couple of really funny stories about him that have made their way around. One was public, one wasn't. One is that when he, because you remember he's jacked, obviously. He's the son of a bodybuilder. And he also has like that great deep voice. And so it was at FanFest a few years ago. He did an interview with either Riz or I think it might have been Brad Adam. And at the end of it, they're like, man, you got great pipes. And he goes, yeah, you should see me without my shirt on. So
that's
funny.
Like,
no, right? I meant like your voice. Oh, okay, your voice. Sorry. Which is so funny. The other, and this one's not as public, and I think I could tell it, but it's funny. The Mariners did a hitting summit when this group first arrived. They did a big hitting summit, and they had players from up and down the organization, minor leagues all the way up to the majors. And they asked everybody to go around a room and tell them, and I'll get this a little wrong, but I'll try to do the best I can, whether they were a slap hitter, gap to gap, or pull to pull, something like that, or a power hitter. And they're going around, and everybody in the room is either saying, I'm just a slap hitter, more of a slap hitter, contact guy, or, yeah, pull to pull, gap to gap, slap hitter, gap to gap. Tyler O'Neill goes, power hitter. And he's the only person in the entire room who said that. And so, yeah, he does have a little bit of arrogance to him.
So what did they say? Like,
they just laughed.
You're telling me you're 35 to
yes.
40 home runs a year?
That's
that
exactly
you are
right.
A deadpool power hitter?
Yep, that's what they said.
Yeah.
Yep. Meathead, man. He's just he's the pitching version of Meat from Bull Durham, man. That's who he is. So, yeah, you can kind of rip him for it. You can want to think he's arrogant. But I having been around him a few times, I think there was a good-natured sort of doofiness that went with it that makes him kind of fun.
Here's what I'll look at.
I'll miss him. I still regret that trade.
Yeah, I think that everybody looks at it. He's a great – it's fun to watch a power hitter and have a power-hitting prospect.
Yes.
We also know how expensive starting pitching is.
True.
It's incredibly – and they made a decision to sacrifice that. Look what they got for Taiwan Walker. Like, you can't really complain about giving up Tyler O'Neill to get Marco Gonzalez and not then turn around and look at what you got for Taiwan Walker.
Point. If you sort of look at those trades together.
Because you have
fair.
To. You have to. Starting pitching just commands a premium. It's just how it is.
And I like Marco. I'll still admit, I would have liked to have had O'Neill here. I like Tyler O'Neill. I thought he was really fun. I would have liked to have seen him come up as a Mariner.
Before we get to the next call, can I get a couple? We've got a couple suggestions.
Text?
On King's Court.
All right.
Yeah. So about
how to tell sort of, Felix?
Yeah, just leaving it open. The 253, keeping King's Court open. That's like a parent asking your kid how they feel about taking their favorite baby blankie away. When it's time, it's time. Don't let the kid determine it. That's fairly funny. Mm. From the 509, you tell Felix that it will be better for his and the team's focus.
Okay.
That's rational. Here's my favorite solution, though. From the 360, begin to shrink the court every start until, poof, it no longer exists.
That is the best thing. That's actually a good idea. You should talk to the Mariners
just,
about that.
Just reduce the number. He's like, finally, the last day, there's just a guy out there holding a big turkey leg with no one else.
That is a really good idea. I'm all in on that. Let's see. We tried,
Felix, but no one was eating the turkey.
You want to stick with Mariners or you want to go back to the Seahawks? What do you want to do?
Let's go Seahawks.
All right, let's go. Steven is in Kennewick. What's up, Steven?
Hey, what's up, guys? So my idea and my thought, I've been actually talking with my dad about it, and he thinks it's stupid. But if we continue to get a holdout from Earl Thomas, and if he continues not to show up at the end of the month when everything there is official, what if we do something similar like New York did with Sheldon Richardson, and we end up finding a team who needs him, and we trade him in the season to get something in return, whether it's not right now, but we put more into our future, because it looks like they're going young, it looks like they're going more with speed and everything, and so maybe we trade him not for something this year when everyone's already dumped their draft picks,
right?
But we go next year and say, hey, look, we couldn't get a first from this year, so next year we go for a 2 and a 3 or a 2 and a 4 or a 1 and a 4 and do something like that, because obviously he doesn't want to be there. Obviously he's still doing something where, I mean, you had the interview where his own teammates are coming out saying, hey, we miss you, and he's still not there. I mean, it's as if he doesn't even care anymore.
Yeah, I would say this. It's not about him not caring anymore. It's about it being a business negotiation. He has not missed anything yet that makes you believe that he's not going to be there for the start of the season.
Or what if he misses minicamp? Minicamp's mandatory.
It increases. And the fear, like the worst case scenario here, the worst case scenario is that you end up trading him for something like what Houston did for Dwayne Brown. Like, that would be the worst return, because then you'd look back and say you probably would have been better off just taking the third round pick from Dallas at the time of the draft.
What did they get for Dwayne Brown? 2 seconds?
It was a third this year and then a second next year. So essentially 2/3
is
how people would look at it. I would say this, that if he holds out, take off the gloves and just be bare knuckle about it and say, if you miss games, if you're not here for the first game, we're going to franchise tag you in this offseason, and then we'll see how you like that.
That's a really hard thing to threaten, though. I'll tell you what, you keep not showing up, and we're going to pay you $14 million.
Well, but that's the thing, is if he signs the contract, then he's going to have to show up.
I know, but it's just like, it's a funny threat. Hey, if you keep doing what you're doing, we are going to give you so many millions of dollars next year. We are going to make you the highest paid safety in the game next year if you keep doing this.
I thought I was being so tough.
I mean,
I thought I was like, we're going to no more Mr. Nice Guy. You're not getting a Marshawn Lynch going away present like we gave him.
Right.
We're not doing anything.
We're just going to give you the average of the top three safety salaries in the game. That's a threat.
Yeah.
I guess it is, but it
sounded a lot tougher the way I was thinking
it doesn't
in my head than the way
like
you
one.
Said it.
Alex is in Everett. Good morning, Alex.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
What's up, dude?
I just wanted to talk about how we should keep Jerry DePoto on.
Yeah.
For guys like Paxton and Haniger, when they get really into their prime, they're going to need Jeff.
Hey, man, I'm sorry. Having
dude,
a lot of trouble here.
It's like now. Pinocchio when he's swimming underneath.
It says here he's optimistic they'll keep Scott and Jerry. I am, too. We've talked about this a lot this week. Danny, I'm pretty optimistic that something will get done probably before the All-Star break. I don't think they want to go into the All-Star break with those guys as lame ducks.
I'll say this. You sold me on the idea that you need to extend DePoto and it needs to be more than a one-year extension. Simply this. Either you trust him to make decisions in the long-term interest of your franchise or you don't.
Right.
And if you don't and you keeping him on, that's the recipe for making quick fix now to get you to a one-game playoff. They need to value wins this year and making the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
but you can't do it at the expense of wins next year.
And I think they know that. I think they really do understand the future of this thing. And if you didn't trust Jerry DePoto to do that, you should have made the decision last offseason to fire him, quite honestly. So once you decided to go into this year with him and it hasn't been a disaster, I think you've got to keep him. And I think you've got to then commit to him and give him the leeway and give him the opportunity to go out there and make the deals he thinks he needs to make this year. So I think they'll get it done. I feel reasonably good about that. And I think Scott Servais will be right behind. I think he's done a great job. Yeah, maybe made a mistake yesterday, maybe not with Nelson Cruz. I don't know. I think you could debate that back and forth. But what he's done to squeeze every drop out of this team with the chemistry and trust he's built over the last 3 years, 2.5 years now as manager, I think that's really important. He's done a great job with it.
I like the way Servais and the feel he has for the team.
Mm.
The in-game mistakes that people point to, every manager is going to have those in the way that they come out and you point to the result and say, I don't think his process has been bad. I think his process has been very good.
But what about when he brings in Edwin Diaz in a non-save situation, Danny? Isn't that the worst?
The flat earthers who believe that a closer should only be used in a save situation are probably the most maddening argument that you
can
get.
Hey, good stuff, everybody. Really enjoyed the open phone lines today. It's been fun. We'll see if we can keep doing that on Fridays. Love hearing some of your points of view, and I like the calls that start off with, I've been trying to convince my dad of this, and he doesn't agree. I like stuff like that, so thank you for that. We'll switch from you guys making phone calls to taking your text message questions as we end every show. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Any question on any subject, we are poised and ready to answer next on Brock and Salk.
And I expect to be in the top three.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
I hear there's going to be a special version of this done on Monday. So here's the deal. I want to let people know. Shame on me for not promoting this more. So Monday is Memorial Day. I hope everybody's gearing up for a long weekend. And Brock and I are not working on Monday. In our place, Danny's hanging in for Brock today. In our place, Lydia Cruz and Stacey Ross.
I think it's going to be awesome.
Pretty excited.
Thanks, guys.
Are you ready, Lydia?
Yeah, we're ready. We're excited.
I understand there have been some tweaks to the show format.
Yes, a little bit. Those subtle
subtle
tweaks.
But
they reflect Stacey and I's personality.
I can't wait.
Part of the J-Slam personality.
I love it. This is going to be a lot of fun. So Lydia will be in hosting 7 o'clock on Monday along with Stacey. And then John Clayton's out on Monday also. And Curtis Rogers is going to be filling in for him.
There's some,
all right, C-Rog.
What's up, C-Rog? Shout out C-Rog. Been hosting the Mariner post-game shows this year.
There's some voices people need to get to know on our station. Like, there is, I feel like a little bit of a veteran because I was thinking about it. This is my sixth year here.
Yeah.
There's some really exciting new people who have become part of our station who we've become really familiar with that you're going to get to hear more of, and I think it's really exciting.
Yeah. Well, you get to hear some of that on Monday with Lydia and Stacey. Ashley will be in with them producing. I'm sure her voice will be out there a little bit also. And then Curtis C-Rog will be on at 10 o'clock with Maura. So should be a lot of fun on Memorial Day leading up to Mariner baseball. Let's see what you guys have in terms of some text questions today. 710-710. Jerkson, which sport does bad officiating irritate you the most?
It's not close. Baseball.
It's bad. Oh, I would say it's basketball and it's not close.
It's always bad.
The whole game is basketball. That's what drives. It's what's turned me off from basketball.
Yeah, it's baseball for me.
Why?
Because it's such an obvious and fixable problem.
Oh, I don't agree.
Angel Hernandez should not be officiating major
league games. Oh, so just eliminating the bad ones.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Like somebody like C.B. Buckner should not be paid to do his job.
True.
Like, if he was a player, he would have been DFA'd long ago.
Long ago.
That is probably what drives me the most.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But there's a couple guys in basketball like that.
They're not... No, there are guys in basketball that hold grudges.
Dick Bavetta had his job for like 30 years. He was terrible.
Dick's not a terrible official.
I thought he was.
Nah, not a terrible official.
All right. I thought he was.
He was swayed by the home crowd. But
that's being a terrible official.
No. Yeah. Being a terrible official is being Angel Hernandez,
hey,
who
you know
makes
who wasn't
unpredictable
a great official,
errors.
Though, was that, what's his name, Tim Donaghy. Not a great official. And yet nobody cares. No, he just fixed games.
He's
not a big
crook.
One. Whatever. Just fixing games in the NBA. Does anybody care? Nah, it's fine. Not a story.
A rogue official.
No news. Oh, sure. Yeah, he was the only one. I'm sure.
Next question.
Is that a...
Totally plausible.
Where does that come from for you, Mike? That Tim... You don't like that Tim Don... The NBA is not held accountable for Tim Donaghy.
Right.
The NFL is not held accountable for steroids.
It bothers me.
Is it a defense of baseball?
No, it's just... It's bizarre to me that people ignore those things. And Tiger Woods has done the same thing. How is Tiger Woods, the NFL... How are neither of them ever held accountable for the PEDs?
How would being held accountable, like how would
like
you...
It's just swept under the rug. Like, I mean, public-wise. Why is the public up in arms about some groups that, like, for some reason, cycling and baseball, like, hey, you better get the PEDs out of that. But the NFL, we're like, eh, whatever. Not a big deal.
Here's where your mistake is. It's not about the people. It's about the people who cover the
sports.
Yeah,
the media. Absolutely. Yes.
Baseball media and cycling media... They're the ones that are fixated on the PED scandals and won't induct people into the Hall of Fame and insist upon public defrockings.
Football's like, let's go.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mark Ingram, I don't know if I should extend him or not.
Yeah.
4-game PED. Well, that's one of the against extending his contract.
Tiger's, doctor is making house calls to his house. Even though he doesn't have a license to practice medicine in the U.S., he gets popped for PEDs. But, hey, no big deal. No one ever talks about it. It's fine.
There's a chunk
of
my
just
brain
get out of here.
That knows things about steroids that, in the words of most deaf, I shouldn't even know. I shouldn't know that that's Dr. Galea.
Sure.
I totally know it's Dr. Galea.
Michael Galea. Arrested at the border. Tiger's doctor. I'm sure.
Next question.
Totally sure he's playing. Jerks. I get this all the time. Man, there have been a lot of texters about this. Have you checked out a Seawolves rugby game yet?
I watched
some.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I like rugby.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to start covering it as like a major sport here, but I like watching it. I understand some of the rules, I think.
I get some of the rules. The best description I've heard of rugby, it was someone... saying that soccer is a gentleman's sport played by thugs.
Right.
And rugby is a thug sport played by gentlemen.
Right.
Which I think is pretty cool.
I prefer Aussie rules football. If it's on.
Because you get the official doing the little
I like that. Thing. I like the thing they do where they spike the ball and then do a jump ball. There's a bunch of cool things. By the way, I didn't mention it earlier. The punter's the best thing about the Seahawks. Michael Dixon's going to be the most exciting player on the Seahawks. He's going to be the personality of this team. He's awesome.
If you ever want to
watched 15 minutes of him just punting yesterday.
If you ever want to be really entertained, take a video footage of a rugby player making an exceptionally tough run, preferably a very, very large man, play it for Dave Wyman, and then ask how that guy would do in the NFL. what Philadelphia drafted the mammoth guy, like 6'8".
Yeah.
Like, Wyman's indignance at what's going to happen to that guy in professional
football. There's no chance he can succeed.
Is well worthwhile.
Let's
Next
see.
Question.
Jerks. Are you at all concerned about the rumors that the new arena won't satisfy the NBA?
No.
Me neither.
It was ponied up by a guy whose expertise is confined to what LeBron might eat for lunch.
I would agree with that.
Brian Windhorst.
And the problem here, and I've gotten into this before, is was he quoting a source or is he giving an opinion?
He's giving an opinion.
It's then very that's clear. Ridiculous.
It's very clear.
Your opinion from 2,000 miles away means nothing.
And the other thing was he said that the NBA would like to expand to Mexico City first. Zero chance that happens. Like, zero chance. Zero. Zero chance that happens.
Did Tiger just get popped for PEDs? No, he never did. It was his doctor. That's all. I'm sure Tiger's clean.
It's just bodies just happening to come undone.
It was like him and A-Rod who all shared that doctor. I'm totally sure it's totally fine.
Bailing wire, duct tape holding Tiger together at this
bailing
point.
Wire talking about it yesterday. I was talking about bailing wire and duct tape. Someone said it was bailing twine.
No, it's bailing wire.
All right, well, that's what you the texter
said. You spell it B-A-L-I-N-G.
Is that true?
That's correct.
Makes sense because it's about bales of hay.
Oh, wait, maybe it's B-A-I. I think I might have screwed that up.
Who cares?
Danny!
Who cares? What's the difference?
Does it matter? No, it's B-A-L. There's no I.
Does it matter?
No,
what
yet.
Even matters anymore?
Very
I was
little.
The 7th grade spelling champion at Sacred Heart Academy, though.
Is that true?
Yeah. Got bounced from the county spelling bee on Lynx.
Oh, damn. Which
Lynx?
Could have spelled either one, and I split the difference.
Oh, no.
You could have spelled it L-Y-N-X or L-I-N-K-S. You could not spell it L-Y-N-K-S.
It's like the screaming Lynx.
All right, Danny, it was a lot of fun. Danny will be back on 3 o'clock with Danny, Dave, and more. I'm going to head over to Ron and Don this afternoon, if you feel like checking that out for a moment or two.
3:25, twice.
And then have a great Memorial Day weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday. Looking forward to it. Till then, the hay.
Born.
See you, everybody. Back in your...
Is that to say that Earl can now put his name back in his mouth?
This is the chopper!